Carvana's so easy, just a click, and we've got ourselves a car. See?
So many cars. That's a clicktastic inventory.
And check out the financing options. Payments to fit our budget. I mean, that's...
Clickonomics 101.
Delivery to our door?
Just a hop, skip, and a click away.
And bought.
No better feeling than when everything just... clicks. Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is ESPN 97.5. KFNZ Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gow Media station. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Just to get out of the way here, a quick reminder again, Cruz Azul Unam Pumas, tickets available at Taqueria Arandas, AXS.com. So that's Chaco Jimenez. Pumas are seven-time Mexican League champions. Paco Palencia, their manager. This is down at BBVA Compass Stadium in November. And I've got more tickets to give away on the show tonight. November 13th is the date for Cruz Azul and Unam Pumas. We're going to talk a little bit about that content and the amount of it coming through Houston, because it's a lot of quality players, and it's teams that have tremendous support. So we'll talk about that tonight. NCAA College Cup. Now, look, Eddie Robinson just walked in the room, played the game at UNC. So many people have played the college game in this country. The College Cup is here in Houston December 9th and 11th at BBVA Compass Stadium. It's on national TV. I think we've sold about 1,500 tickets so far. We're trying to hit 6,000 to 10,000 people for this. We will make a statement if we do it, because the last two NCAA Men's College Cups, quite frankly, there was nobody there. I called the games. There was nobody there. We want to make a good impression here in Houston. It's only going to happen organically, and if you really make an effort to do it. And I'm telling you, anybody who's a youth coach or a high school coach, if you're not encouraging your players to go there, there's something wrong, because that's ultimately the next level of play for them. So we'll talk about that tonight as well. And then one more quick word here for Bud Light. As the host of Soccer Matters, I remind you that on behalf of my favorite political party, the Bud Light Party, people say the country is divided. We disagree on everything. I'm telling you, that's not true. We agree on a lot. We agree on everything soccer-wise, like Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, Carlos Alberto, the great one who passed away, and many, many more. Puppy videos. Everybody likes puppy videos and three-day weekends. But nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light Party and myself every Wednesday night for the best in soccer talk. We welcome into the studio right now former Dynamo defender. He's my partner on Root Sports. Somehow has put up with me for the last 5 years. Eddie Robinson in studio. And also Jesus Acevedo, who does a ton of good writing for both Major League Soccer, the Houston Dynamo, and the Houston Dash. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having us.
I'm honored to be in your presence, as always, Glenn.
Well, we do know that right now in the 65th minute, Toronto FC's got a 2-0 lead over Philadelphia. We're going to do some breaking down of the playoffs, but we're going right to the hot topic here. Breaking news today from Scoop Berman at Fox 26 saying Wade Barrett is not going to be the next manager of the Dynamo. He was talked to. That leads us to believe it's going to be Wilmer Cabrera. Your thoughts to open it up on that, Jesus?
Well, I'll just say this. Wade was always given put in a very tough position. I actually don't know what else he could have done to actually get the, you know, job.
Are going to say he could have won more games.
He could have, but you also got to look at the players he had. Got to be honest, you know, Owen, when he left, he didn't have enough players to make it work. I think he was probably missing one or two players more, difference makers, as something that, you know, Jordan has always said in this offseason. With that said, it's very interesting to see whether he's actually going to stay here with this organization or if he's going to seek another job somewhere else, because I'm sure other teams saw the kind of job he did with the Dynamo. You know, he was able to stabilize them. Yes, they weren't on the attack or as much of an offensive team, but he did stabilize them.
Well, he stabilized them for sure defensively. Here's just a couple of analytics, and then I'm going to throw it to you, Eddie. Wade Barrett, 22 games, 4 wins. In those 22 games, the Dynamo scored 21 goals. Owen Coyle, 12 games, 3 wins, and they scored 18 goals. We remember 11 of them came in the first 3 games. So, Eddie, your thoughts on the Wade Barrett situation?
It's, Wade was never given the opportunity to succeed. That's first. That's obviously clear. Because when you bring in a new coach to a professional team that's in a bad spot, you give them the opportunity to make decisions on player personnel. Didn't look to me like – I know Wade. Didn't look to me like he had any decisions on player personnel. I saw a tweet a little bit ago from Shannon Williams. He's disappointed because Wade was given a team, and these are Shannon Williams' words, that was lost and did some good work and did a lot of hard work. He was never, as far as we know, given any information about what it would take to get the job and
criteria.
Correct. And that's disappointing.
I think that's the question we asked a lot on the broadcast.
The lack of transparency from the organization about this head coaching job for me was poor. It was poor. You've got a fan base out there that's struggling, that are fleeing by the day. Individually, one at a time. I can't take this anymore. I can't take this anymore. Give them some hope. Give them something to grab onto. Yeah, I was hoping at the end of the season that the Dynamo could pull off some wins, maybe do it for Wade, do it for the fans, to give them some hope, to something to grab onto, a reason to continue to support this club. And it's frustrating to not see. I mean, most of what I've seen on Twitter today is, I love Wade Barrett as a person. I love what he did for this club as a player, but he didn't do enough as the coach. Well, did he do enough as a coach? Maybe not, but he didn't have the opportunity to really establish a system with players that he wants in the team. And I think that he was never set up to succeed. He's never given the opportunity to say, here's what I'm going to change. Here's what's wrong. Here's what I'm going to change. And let's see if it works. And if it didn't, no problem. But he wasn't given that opportunity, so I really feel bad for him.
Yeah, listen, we all know it's a crushing blow because he wanted the job. I don't think there's any question. He came on this show and made that very, very clear. So when you get handed the interim job and you don't get it ultimately at the end of this long run, I really feel for Wade because I think he's like everybody said, he is a man of integrity. And, I mean, that's the standard right there that when you hear out of everybody's mouth, what a man of integrity. I mean, that's pretty powerful.
Agreed.
Pretty powerful. Now, back to your transparency thing. Yeah, I think that's what makes it confusing to people because nobody really knew what the criteria was. If somebody said, hey, you got to win six games and you didn't win six games, you can't argue with it.
Exactly.
Okay? So, look, the Dynamo can choose the manager they want. I don't think there's any question, but I think if the communication was a little bit different, it would be a little bit more palatable at this time.
Exactly.
When there is a defined a goal that somebody has to hit. And I think, you know, that's something I think the Dynamo organization has got to learn from, too, when it comes to transparency.
I think it was definitely, I know that I asked Matt Jordan the question plenty of times, what's it going to take or what is the coaching process going to be like? And he gave the same answer in different formats, say that the format that the Dynamo were going to take their time to make the right decision. But I'll go back and say this. Wade also, did he do enough to get it? The job, I think he did enough, but I think he could have done more. And I'll talk back to the game versus Seattle when they were up a man. There was about 20 minutes left. The team, I felt that was the team, that chance to go forward, go for it. You know, yeah, you are in the playoffs, but get these three straight wins for that way he could keep the job, Wade. But the team, they didn't really push it. You know, and those are the kind of moments where I think Wade needs to learn where he should have pushed it. I mean, up
I think
one
this
man,
is
20
a great,
minutes.
I think this is a great point, and I think, Eddie, you've leaned on this point as well.
Yes.
There were moments where, look, if Wade doesn't know what the criteria is, if he's going to play it pretty much cautious all the way out, maybe that's not going to get you the job. Maybe it will. It's kind of like Floyd Mayweather fighting Pacquiao, right? Maybe right. That's not the greatest comparison, but it might be something like that, and maybe you have to do something with a big bang, and that is win a game in Seattle or take some risk on the road and stuff Colorado at the end of that game, whatever it is. And I think you alluded to that on some of our broadcasts on television as well, Eddie.
Yeah, I've made no mistake that I think that Wade has, in certain circumstances, I think he's made a couple mistakes in some of his decision-making, whether it's choosing the 11.
But why wouldn't
three.
He? Come on, it's his
exactly.
first go-over.
And I go back to something that I've been talking about quite a lot recently is the lack of support that he has from a staff in the locker room on the bench. You've got two guys. You've got a goalkeeper coach. You've got your strength and conditioning coach. Yes, these guys have been around. They know the game. But if there's two more, if he's got a full staff and there are two more guys there, somebody is in his ear. Wade, do this. Why not do this? Why not go? Why not this situation? I think that those guys are overworked. He needs more staff. I remember being at BBVA Compass Stadium a couple weeks ago. I don't remember what game it was, but it was very recently. The head coach is out an hour and a half before kickup, setting up cones for warmups.
Yeah, you and me were up in the booth, and you said, "Hey, look at Wade setting the cones."
Why is he doing that? He shouldn't be doing that. That shouldn't be his job. He should be inside looking over set pieces, making sure assignments are sorted.
But
he should be talking to
you
guys.
You would say,
individually,
why didn't Wade delegate that then? I mean,
there's not enough. You know, I mean, coaches, like you said, staff, because it's, you know, very true. Three guys to run the whole team, once a, you know, coach who has no coaching experience. And they're, you know, basically they were, I think for this coach to get his job, Wade, he had to either have the Dynamo make the playoffs or either just barely miss it. That's the only, you know, way I think that the Dynamo would have given him the job.
Criteria for me was not making the playoffs. I didn't think this team was going to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. period. I think we needed to throw that out the window a little bit earlier and begin to look at the future. And I think we danced with that last year as well. We've been dancing with that way too long. And it's kind of like the word no. Do you want a slow no or do you want a quick no? I'll take a quick no personally, because then I can move on.
Yeah.
But I think if there was a little bit more from open play and the attacking end of it, that could have behooved him as well. And then that might have led to results in Seattle.
I think a lot of that is formation. We not Big having time. A lone center forward, a true number nine, you can't play with a lone striker. Not with Will Bruin, not with Mar Minotas. Both of those guys, even Kubo Torres, succeed in a 4-4-2 where they have a partner, somebody they're close with, somebody they can combine with, somebody that can occupy one other center back. So it's not always one versus two. And that was a big problem for me.
Eddie,
so
funny that you, before you go, yeah. Jesus, let me just follow up on Eddie on this, and I want your reaction to this too. Eddie Robinson, Jesus Acevedo in studio. Guys, always a pleasure having you guys in. And I'll tell you what, we're going to do a lot of these roundtables because I want to give a lot of the people that are seriously engaged in the game, like yourselves, platforms here. And we're going to do a lot of this in the future and in the off season. You're a 4-4-2 man. You came up in that system. It's what you know best. But not many teams are using the 4-4-2 in Major League Soccer. It's an outdated system to some.
If you have a Fernando Adi, if you have a Jozy Altidore, if you have a true number nine, then you can play that. You can play that system that you can hit balls into them, they can hold them up, and then runners can come late and they can combine. The Dynamo don't have that. And I think it's twice this year. The Dynamo played a 4-4-2, once under Juan Coyle, once under Wade Barrett. The most glaringly obvious example was
Vancouver at home.
Vancouver at home, the game before Eric Torres left for the Olympics. Will Bruin and Eric Torres, they were excellent together. We lost 1-0. But that for me was David Oestead had one of the games of his season, and he's an unbelievable goalkeeper. But what I saw in that game was more than enough for me to go back, for Wade Barrett to go back and let's give it another shot.
So let's go back to the Vancouver game, because look, we can say whatever we want, 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2, it's a mentality. If you're going to commit people into the other half of the field and play the game up high and decide to be a team that is going to be proactive and not reactive, it really doesn't matter what the system is, because that lone guy would have had support. I think it's bigger and deeper than that, because I don't think the Dynamo have penetrators anymore. And that makes it doubly. I mean, Will Bruin, Kubo Torres were set up to pretty much fail in that position. It's not easy when you don't have people penetrating and pulling a center back off you. If you're sitting in the middle and you're constantly marked by two center backs and they never have to leave the middle, life is beautiful. You know that as a center back.
Yes,
you know that as a center back. Oh, yeah, Allie Long of the U.S. Women's National Team knows that as a what happened in her games with the U.S. playing in a three-back system. So I guess it's 2-1 now, right?
Yep.
So what you're telling me? Philadelphia scored here. Okay.
It's
another choke? Hey, Toronto trying to win their first ever MLS playoff game.
There's nothing better than the last 10 minutes of a MLS playoff game. It just goes helter skelter and gets hectic.
All right, Jesus, let me take it to you.
It's so funny that you brought up that game, because I asked a question to Bruin after the game, you know, how do you feel play with another striker? And the first thing Bruin said was like, whoa, just to hear you say another striker, his, like, you know, he just had this big, you know, big wide smile. Because, yeah, playing with another forward opens up the game. And it's clear, yes, they did lose 1-0, but there were chances. More chances than when they were just with the lone striker. And I think that goes back to saying there's no difference maker on this team. And I think that's one thing that this team thought they were getting with Chaco Maidana. And I don't think he actually lived up to those expectations. You know, he had 15 assists last year. I'm not sure how many he had this year, maybe four.
We were kind of sold on Chaco with this whole statistic of big chances, which to me is a bunch of bullshit.
I agree 100%.
He had too much defensive responsibility.
The guy, and that's not what he does at all. Well, he's not a good defensive player.
I just made a bit of a mistake here. My producer's waving at me madly here. I just dropped. Yeah, it's not very often that I do that. Anyway, because I think there's so many of these analytical categories that then become validation of what? I mean, people are writing articles off this stuff now. I think it's wrong. But look, I think one thing for sure is if you're going to be reactive and you're not going to support these guys and you're going to stick a lone striker up there, it's not going to be successful. We went on and on with this with Will Bruin as a striker. Mm-hmm. Left on his own, and it wasn't working. Owen Coyle continued with it. Wade continued with it. Was there a lack of courage to change that?
I think it was up to Wade Barrett, and I think he was scared that if he tried something that didn't work, he knew he was going to get fired.
Owen, too.
Right? I mean, he knew he was going to get fired. Owen Coyle, that's how he's been. I mean, that's who he was. He was very good at spinning things in a positive direction and being optimistic and encouraging guys. But when it came to tactics, nothing ever changed. And how many times have we heard the analogy, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? And it's frustrating to see, but, you know, if I could change one thing about Wade Barrett's time, if I could go back and speak to him, I would say, try something different, explore, be crazy, do something crazy, do something that what would Dominic Kinnear, the guy that you learned from, do in this situation? What would he change? Do it. See what happens. What's the worst that's going to happen? You don't get the job. But if you keep doing the same thing over and over, it ain't going to work, and you're not going to get the job.
You can join us here, 713-780-3776. Watch the language, please. 713-780-3776. So we got 2-1 now, Toronto over Philadelphia. Later to come tonight, it's the LA Galaxy, Real Salt Lake. Hey, by the way, Super Classico tonight, too. Chivas and Club America in the Mexican Cup. So it's a lot of great soccer watching here after this show that I know I'm going to go do. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk Wilmer Cabrera. Youth national team experience, RGV, a good record. Jesus, let's start with you. What are your thoughts? Yeah, look, I'm putting the house on it. He's going to be signed unless something really dramatic comes out of the out of the pipeline.
I actually thought he was going to be named the coach before the name interim coach in a way. Based on the experience he's had, he also has good coaching experience with Torres, 22 goals with Chivas USA.
Part of the time. He wasn't there the whole time.
True,
but he did get a lot out of Torres.
Torres looks like he may be coming back too. I think it'll be a good hire, but I'm also not sure whether Diamond want to take him out of RGB since he's done such a good job, and that's something that you know, one positive you can say from this season.
I'm going to give you a reality check. Wilmer Cabrera does not want to be in the Rio Grande Valley.
Nobody wants to be in the Rio Grande Valley.
I don't know. I haven't been down there. I don't want to bust on the Rio Grande Valley. But what I'm saying is he wants to be a head coach. I don't think there's any question. When we saw that hire, and that was the connection with Matt Jordan, right? Because Matt Jordan is the one who brought in Wilmer Cabrera. There's no doubt he ultimately wants to be a head coach in the league. It's ambition. There's nothing wrong with that again. All right, so I'm hearing some music. Hold those thoughts. Eddie, Jesus, we'll come back with that. A couple of quick reads here. Bar Munich, get down there. It's a great soccer watching spot in Houston. We're going to do a live show there the week of, the NCAA College Cup. That's a great open-air spot. A lot of soccer fans are down there. It's right in the heart of Midtown. Bar Munich on Louisiana, barmunich.com. 2616 Louisiana. it is a Soccer Matters pub. And then the Richmond Arms and the King's Head pub. You can book your party at these two establishments. Richmond Arms has been around forever. I think it's an Arsenal soccer watching spot. 5920 Richmond Avenue, the Richmond Arms. The sister pub is the King's Head pub out in the southwest part of Houston on Eldridge. Great bar food, great beer, English Tavern. Best in soccer there. Richmond Arms, King's Head pub. Two tickets right now to Unam Pumas against Cruz Azul, BBVA Compass Stadium. Pair of tickets right now, six caller, Sunday, November 13th. You got them in a great facility. Paco Palencia coming to town. Chaco Jimenez, again, six caller right now, 713-780-3776. You get a pair.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Don't shake your head at me, Eddie Robinson. I like Kiss, man.
Who doesn't like Kiss?
Oh, come on. It's classic. All right, we're going to keep this conversation going. The topic is Wilmer Cabrera. We're going to get to that in a second. Quick word here for Liberty Kitchen. A lot of people passionate about food in this room. I do know that. great food, great friends at Liberty Kitchen. Think of it as modern American comfort food. Classics taken up several notches. Burgers, mac and cheese, they got the Liberty Kitchen staples, the deviled eggs topped with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken, Creole gumbo, oysters on the half shell, which, I mean, I can do two dozen of those very easily, cowboy surfers, po'boys, burger bowls, great cocktails, cold beer, grilled chops and steaks, nice wine menu. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. Liberty Kitchen, lunch and supper and brunch. Do not forget Liberty Kitchen. Great locations all throughout Houston, including the Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks. I went to the Garden Oaks location, which is pretty cool, Eddie. It's right across from an American Legion Hall. It's like right in a neighborhood. It's really cool. We're going to go there sometime. I'm going to take you there.
I would enjoy that.
We're going to take you there. And then they've got the new open treehouse in Memorial City. Jesus, you can join us too.
Oh, I would love to go.
We'll go there.
We'll have a chat about this Dynamo team.
We will. We got a lot to cover here tonight. So let's go back to Wilmer Cabrera, assuming he is the choice. And we're going to take a phone call quickly from James. If you call in tonight at 713-780-3776, get to it quickly because, you know, we got to keep this thing moving here tonight. So let's go back to Wilmer Cabrera, assuming he gets a job, Eddie. Your thoughts on Wilmer? You want to start Jesus? You start Jesus, then you go in.
Yeah, if he does get the job, my first question is how much power would he have in picking his own players? Because I think that'll be key, picking his own players. And, you know, this offseason will be the Dynamo. They actually have some money to play with. So it depends what they do with the money, but it also depends how much power they're willing to give the coach, if it is him, Cabrera, to pick those players.
Now, don't forget, I think if I'm correct here, Matt Jordan, when he became the GM, was responsible for the hire of Wilmer Cabrera. So that means those are two people that are going to get along. Cabrera played for Colombia, played 300-plus games for America in Colombia, America de Cali. So, you know, he's got a long playing career. He's 49 years of age, had youth national teams as well, was an assistant at Colorado, took over Chivas, and then went down to the Rio Grande Valley in the first year of existence of the Rio Grande Valley Toros. Eddie, your thoughts on Wilmer Cabrera?
I'm not convinced. Congratulations to Rio Grande Valley on a great year, but you know, my definition of success for them is different than most people. Most people think success is based strictly on wins, but what we were led to believe at the beginning of the season is Rio Grande Valley's development team for the Dynamo. How many first-team players have they provided in this year? This first year, I mean, that really make a difference, that give minutes. There were a lot of injuries this year. There weren't enough. Not for me. So that's my definition of success. Now, we can argue this. We can have this for another day. But, you know, let me throw this in there. I just saw on Twitter, Will Bruin. says on Twitter, very, very disappointed Wade will not get the head coaching position. In my opinion, very foolish. So now there's a couple players that are coming out in social media and expressing extremely strong opinions about their support for Wade Barrett. That says a lot. When you're a coach and your players are willing to go out in social media and say these things, not say them behind closed doors. I say a lot of things behind closed doors that I don't want to say on
social
media.
Well, it's a safe zone right now. Until a manager's named, it's a safe zone. So there is the inkling that players will come out. But this is a great sign that you're bringing out.
For Will Bruin, who struggled a little bit this year, you know, maybe because of the system, but what to come forward and discredit, whether it be Matt Jordan, Chris Kennedy, Gabriel Brenner, whoever had the final say in this decision, that takes a lot of guts and that takes a lot of backing. He really loves Wade Barrett, and I think that says a lot about the current state of this team, this unrest with the players being unhappy about those decisions being made.
I don't think there's a single guy that doesn't respect Wade Barrett. I mean, I don't think you're going to find a single guy that doesn't respect him.
Well, and, I don't think there's any question. You got to start wondering about...
No, but listen,
what's going on?
There are other criteria. Let me take you back to Cabrera. There's no way he's going to move anybody through right now. It's the Dynamo Academy, and this whole setup is so in its infancy. You and I have talked about this a lot. I still think if you're going to say you're going to be in the business of producing young players, that team has to be on the field to the Houston Dynamo.
The Academy's been in for 10 years. There's not the support required.
Yeah, it never has been. I you know, if it were me, I would have asked for the support. If I don't get it, I'm gone.
We could have a whole show on that.
but some are going to say to Wilmer Cabrera, he had a big piece in helping Mauro Minotas improve and score goals. Agree or disagree?
I completely disagree. Minotas was this kind of player. And this is, okay, so why would the Dynamo have brought him in? Right? I mean, maybe I left him out when I said, what is the players that Matt Jordan brought in, right? Alex Lima, Mauro Minotas. There have been numerous quotes from coaching staff, from front office personnel, that we knew that Mauro Minotas was some kind of player. Well, why did it take so long for him to get on the field? Even after his success at RGV, he's scoring goals every single game. What took so long?
Well, it was Wade Barrett was the coach. I mean, he could have inserted him 3 or 4 weeks earlier, right? I mean, I talked to him about that. But
I think I know something that you brought up, Glenn, was that this team still thought that it could make the playoffs even after Owen Coyle left the team. How long did it take for them to say, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs?
Till mathematically they were out.
Exactly.
I think that was a mistake, too.
I think that was one of the reasons why, you know, why the players, why some of the players were not getting playing time that they should, you know, because even in the U.S. Open Cup, you know, Mauro played tremendously well, and he still didn't get playing time.
Every game he came off the bench, he clearly, with anybody's lens, could see that this guy was bringing something different to this team, a different swagger, a different movement and mobility that made the team look a little bit different. It wasn't mind-boggling changing, but the ability to run in behind defenses and be a target and a threat behind a defense made a big difference to me, Eddie. What about you?
Yeah, but again, every single game, he's 1-2. And I can only imagine how much more dangerous he could have been if there were another Ford occupying one of the center backs.
Did the Dynamo have a good enough midfield to play with a four-man midfield?
When Ricardo Clark was healthy, when Colin Warner got fully fit, Alex Lima, there's three guys competing for two places. Absolutely. Those are three guys that cover a lot of ground, that are good on the ball, make good decisions. And I think when you're playing that 4-4-2, that second forward causes enough trouble that the holding midfielder, the deepest midfielder for your opponent, has to sit. He can't join. So that kind of evens it out as a 2-2 in there. And I think when you play a 4-4-2, there's more opportunities for your outside backs to get forward, which when the Dynamo did it, when Shane and Williams got forward, early in the season, Jahlil Anibaba, DeMarcus Beasley, when he was healthy, they got so many crosses into the box. They were successful at creating chances from the run of play, which has been one of the Dynamo's biggest weaknesses for the last 3 years. And
the wide game's an issue. I mean, listen, all this other stuff if you don't penetrate in the game of soccer and you don't have people that can break up lines off the dribble and can get behind outside backs and recognize moments to get behind outside backs on the counterattack, that's another area that this club in the last 3 years, it has been such a methodical, slow style of play that it allows teams to get set defensively and keep the game in front of you. And I hope that the Dynamo in the future are looking to be a team that can recognize counterattacking situations and go with conviction. And I think it's going to take new players. I don't think there's any question that there's going to have to be some turnover, and it's going to be interesting to see who it is. All right, you guys want to move on and talk some MLS
Let's do it.
Playoffs?
Let's do it.
Let's talk. Okay, so we got Philadelphia and Toronto here. I don't think we're surprised what's going on here. How far do you guys think Toronto can go? Jesus?
I think they're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and probably lose to the New York Rebels.
Oh, I like that.
And it's yeah.
This will be.
I'll say I agree with that. If Red Bull make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, the problem with Major League Soccer playoffs after these knockout round games are the two-legged series.
Yeah,
we saw what the Dynamo did in 11 and 12. You saw what Portland did last year. It's the lowest, I believe, the number six seed in the Western Conference. Were they the last seed?
They got in on the last day of the season.
MLS playoffs are a completely different animal. I mean, you have to look at current form going in. Toronto hasn't been the best. FC Dallas has been very good. Red Bull have been very good. NYCFC has been okay. LA Galaxy haven't been very good. I'd love to see a fully healthy New York Red Bull versus a fully healthy Toronto FC. That would be glorious. And I think you're right. I think that New York would probably edge him because they do get to play at home. But anything can happen. I mean, two mistakes tonight from Tribbett, the center back from Philadelphia, basically just gifted Toronto two goals. So you wonder if he doesn't make those two mistakes, does this game go to overtime? Does it go to penalties? And does Philadelphia sneak away with it? It's the MLS playoffs. It's Major League Soccer. It is crazy. And there's so much parity. And this is the best time of the year.
3-1 winners, Toronto FC over the Philadelphia Union. That's their first ever playoff win. Philadelphia hadn't won a game in 2 months. And it's no surprise this happened. Okay, so later on tonight, we got the Los Angeles Galaxy and Real Salt Lake. Real Salt Lake hasn't won a game since August 26th. They have struggled at the back. They've been porous. They gave up 8 goals to the Galaxy in 2 regular season games. So RSL's in trouble. They're the real underdogs going into the Home Depot Center. StubHub Center. Let me get the sponsor correct. Thoughts on that one?
In Major League Soccer, when history and stats and form and squad health all point to the same exact probable outcome, it's almost wise to bet on the opposite. That's something that I found throughout my career as a player, throughout my 5 years now with you as a commentator and as a fan of the league. Listen, I expect LA to win this game tonight, 100%. Probably it could be 2-0 or 3-1, as we just saw, but nothing would surprise me if Salt Lake went in there. Nick Raimondo had an amazing game, and Salt Lake came away with a win in penalties or overtime. It wouldn't surprise me.
Right, but conventional thinking has LA over RSL.
There's nothing conventional about this league.
It's true.
That's what I love about it.
It's true. Yeah, I'm mixed because I think sometimes the regular season, FC Dallas has done a remarkable thing this year. They won the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. They get their best player extracted from the team because they sell him and he wants to leave. And then they lose their number one playmaker.
Goodness.
And they're trying to make history doing a treble. I don't think enough people are talking about this. With the lowest budget in the league and with young players, we're going to come back. We're going to keep this conversation rolling here. I do want to remind you that I'm just throwing these tickets out there. Cruz Azul and Pumas again, Sunday, November 13th, 4 p.m. We have them in town. So it's Mexican League action down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Again, Sunday, November 13th, 2016 at 4 p.m. Cruz Azul, Unam Pumas. You can get tickets at Taqueria Arandas. That's one of the spots. You can also get them at AXS.com. But guess what? You can get them for free right here, the sixth caller, at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Sixth caller, you get a pair of tickets to Cruz Azul Unam Pumas in November. Jesus Acevedo in studio, Eddie Robinson in studio. We got a lot more to come here. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll take a 7-Up break.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
Don't forget the College Cup, NCAA.com for your tickets. It's coming to Houston December 9th through 11th at BBVA Compass Stadium. Youth, high school, coaches, come on, push your players out to the next level. Get them down there in person. I hear some high school teams are busing players in down there. That's a really cool sign. So let's roll this thing. It's great player development for your players to go down there and see this. There's going to be a ton of college coaches, MLS coaches. It's going to be good. Cruz Azul Unam Pumas. Tickets at Taqueria Arandas, AXS.com. Chaco Jimenez coming in town with Cruz Azul. Pumas have won the title 7 times in the Mexican League. We know that. Paco Palencia is their manager. We'll be giving more tickets out. Again, it's Cruz Azul and Unam Pumas. Taqueria Arandas, a great spot to get your tickets and a great opportunity to get down into that beautiful stadium. And then remind you about John Daspit and his Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. Whether it's car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, it's DaspitLaw.com. The Daspit Law Firm will work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. They're going to fight for your right for compensation. Do it with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Our thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-4878. And as always, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, the Houston Dynamo, we thank you for your support and all our great sponsors, 7-Up, Bud Light, for what you guys do to keep this show on the air. And Gorgeous Gale, it's another great place, the Irish pub over in West University, 5555 Morningstride. That's where the Liverpool fans catch up. Go over there, say hello to Peter. There's an open feel. It's the Gorgeous Gale. It's the place to be, thegorgeousgale.com. It's an official Soccer Matters pub. All right, so we got through all that, and we continue on here. So Seattle sporting Kansas City tomorrow. Seattle started the season 6-11-2. We didn't expect them to even be here. 8-2-4 in their final 14 games under Brian Schmetzer. After Ziggy Schmidt was fired, they acquired Nicholas Ladero. Now, by the way, Schmetzer could lose his first playoff game, and he won't get the job in Seattle. I don't think he's going to get the job. I think he's got to do something spectacular. And I think you weigh that with looking at the Dynamo and their organization, and there's differing thinking here.
There's different standards, it seems like, doesn't it? But listen, if anyone out there thinks that Schmetzer is mostly responsible for this turnaround, they haven't been watching Seattle, because it's Nicholas Ladero. That guy and what he's done since he's come to Seattle, especially since Clint Dempsey's been out with his heart issue, to be able to win this many games, make the playoffs. And honestly, if Ladero stays healthy, if Jordan Morris can clean up his finishing, I feel like the only team in the Western Conference that can beat FC Dallas is Seattle.
Bruce Arena in the LA Galaxy?
I also wonder is, you know, that was just one player that they added to Seattle, and he made such a big difference. I think, you know, what about if this team as it is right now, is that all they need, is just one player away? Because, I mean, that team Seattle showed, if you get one quality player, a difference maker, what he can do to the team.
Well,
and also they play with one striker. You know, we got to think about that. For us, that one player made such a big difference because he's able to penetrate, just like how you were talking about earlier.
You got to look at the spine of the team for Seattle. I think Stephen Fry's had the best year of his career as far as goalkeeper. Chad Marshall has been – I thought he was – he was over the hill. He's been excellent.
Although you were highly critical of him in the Dynamo game.
I was.
You were highly critical of
him. Overall, as a whole, in the season. And then you got Oswaldo Alonso, Ladero, and for most of the season, Dempsey and now Jordan Morris, the spine of that team is as solid as any as you're going to find.
So you're saying that's a much better spine than the Dynamo have?
Oh, by miles.
Okay, so I think it's unfair not to give Schmetzer some credit, though. No, I mean, this is the way coaching works, right? If you happen to be the guy who's there when Lodeiro gets a job,
get credit for it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it works.
Schmidt brought in Lodeiro.
Yeah, right. And Ziggy's
Lodeiro
upset.
Was disappointed.
And Ziggy's upset.
And
sure, he
should
was.
Be. You cannot Ziggy's tell me upset that Seattle would be in the playoffs if Nicholas Lodeiro was not on this team. There's no way, especially with Clint Dempsey going out. There's no way.
But if Clint Dempsey's gone out now and this team has a shot at, now that could be one of the stories of the year. If Seattle were to finally win an MLS Cup
without Dempsey,
without Clint Dempsey, okay, that's one of the stories of the year. And by the way, Schmetzer's had to navigate without Clint Dempsey. There's a lot of ways to skin these cats. And I mean, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here because I don't think there's one correct answer to anything. And I think, you know, it's like anything in life, timing, being in the right place at the right time. You know, Schmetzer's had to keep a team together. I don't think there's any question. He's had to manage people and their attitudes. Ziggy supposedly was at loggerheads with Dempsey. You know, there was all kinds of rumors out there. So
if they do if they get past SKC, which they should, I think he'll get the job for term. Maybe just a 2-year deal, just a short term, just to kind of pay him back for what he did, even though he hasn't done as much because he had Nico on that
there
team.
There ain't an agent that represents a coach that has an opportunity to job Major League Soccer that'll set up for a 2-year deal. It'll be three of the fewest, right? I mean, it's. That's what Seattle's got to – they know that.
What's happened to Sporting Kansas City? Failhaber, Zusi, Beasler, what's happened out there under Peter Vermes? Because I don't see them having a prayer in this one against Seattle unless Dom Dwyer just single-handedly manhandles a couple of center backs.
Listen, ever since the World Cup, Beasler has fallen off tremendously. Zusi has fallen off tremendously. These aren't the hungry players that we saw that were trying to make – that World Cup roster for Jurgen Klinsmann. These are players that came back from the World Cup, signed nice, big, lucrative deals, and just are doing enough to stay healthy. These are not the hungry players that we used to know. Phil Haber, his mind's somewhere else. He's all but gone at the end of this year. He's not happy. Brad Davis, there's so many storylines around this. Peter Vermes lately has seemed to be on the defensive in the media. It's a team that's broken right now.
Well, then I'll say this. Is it time for Peter to go somewhere else? You think that's going to be? Because I've actually seen that same thing that you're talking about. He seems a little put-offish, and it's maybe...
Well, because they're not doing well.
Yeah. I think he's done enough to warrant, okay?
Yeah,
Phil Haber's gone.
He gets another...
Let's see.
He's done too much work in Kansas City to be offloaded after one bad season.
Yeah, and Dom Dwyer, he hasn't had his best year. He hasn't been...
No,
terrible,
but that goes hand in hand with Failhaber, Zusi.
Yeah,
I mean, what's behind him, right?
Of course.
I mean, I sometimes marvel at that guy because he's able to create and make his own chances without
a lot
of support.
Players who I feel like, maybe not from the media, but from Major League Soccer fans as a whole who are underrated was Christian Namath last year. And when he left, that was a huge blow to Kansas City.
Yeah, he was an excellent signing, Hungarian. So rebooting, and you've been a part of this, Eddie. I mean, look. It's how you then begin to put behind you what was the regular season. And who's the best at that? And what manager is the best at working players to completely clean the slate, whether you won a supporter shield or whether you just barely snuck into the playoffs? Who's the best at rebooting teams? And that's what can take you on to success and glory in a playoff format.
Here would be my dark horse, right? Look at Columbus Crew before Greg Berhalter. They were struggling. Pat Onstad has been on the staff there for a few years now. He's seen Greg Berhalter's attitude, the way he works, his methods, everything that goes down to building a successful team, taking a poor team and making it a successful team and organization. I wouldn't mind. I would be very happy if I heard Pat Onstad was going to get an interview because of what he's experienced under Greg Berhalter.
But then again, that team just did not make the playoffs this year. So why would you bring somebody who didn't from an organization that didn't make the playoffs? Because isn't that earlier what you said? Matt Jordan, he came from the Impact. What did he do with the Impact? So it'll just be the same thing over and over, bringing somebody from a non-winning organization. Yes, 2 years ago they made it to the final, but where are they now?
Look, at every MLS team's going to have a bad year, right? I'll go back to 2004 in San Jose. We 0-1 MLS Cup champions, 0-3 MLS Cup champions, lost in overtime in the first round of the playoffs to Kansas City. 0-5 Supporter Shield, 0-6 MLS Cup champions, 0-7 MLS Cup champions. Everybody's going to have a bad year. But not everyone has been part of a poor team that has come in with a new head coaching staff, a new assistant coaches, and built something from what was poor to what was, for me, a disappointing showing in the MLS Cup last year against Portland. I picked them when the season started between Miram, Kamara, and Higuain. If all three of them stayed healthy, they were just going to outscore everyone last year. That's what my situation. And I think the whole Kai Kamara situation really threw everyone for a loop. I think that the players stopped trusting.
It went south after that.
But that happened way early into the season.
The players stopped trusting Higuain, and I think it just rotted from the inside. I think that having been part of that organization from the point, starting when it was poor, taking it to MLS Cup, you see a structure that is successful. It fell apart. We can debate that. I think
let's not get too much into Columbus because we got a lot more to talk about. I don't think there's any question. When Kamara left there, definitely the results went the other way. Yeah. And look, by the way, that was a former Houston Dynamo player. Mm-hmm. What did you think about him when he was here, Eddie?
He's one of the greatest guys I've ever met on and off the field.
I thought he was a dream.
I was shocked. I was really shocked. I think there had to be something going on with him and Dominic that we didn't see because, you know, it was Dom said he was a cancer to the locker room, and there wasn't one player on the team I don't think that would have agreed with that.
Although New England Revolution striker Kai Kamara booked for twerking.
Oh, that was you didn't watch that? You didn't see that?
It's pretty funny. I don't think. He's a funny guy. I don't think there's any question. But Sporting Kansas City reaped the benefits of him because they were able to sell him to England. Was that 2 minutes in the entire show?
Mr. Producer,
do you exist? Can you say something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have actually less than 2 minutes.
You know what music you have to play on the way out? Right?
No, I know. I got it queued up.
I just want to make sure you're on your game, Tyler.
Glenn, it's
Scott.
Only been 2 weeks. I remember.
All right. You remember? You didn't remember me when I walked in the building today. Nobody in this place did.
Hard to recognize you.
No, I just don't think there's. We're working at getting love here for the game of soccer. Okay, guys, I think we got to wrap it up. Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus Acevedo. You can catch his writings. He covers the Dynamo and the Dash. We thank you very much. There's going to be a bonus Kalia Ojai interview up at podcastarena.com. Kalia Ojai's interview will be up at podcastarena.com. You're going to like what she has to say about fitting into the national team. My good friend Eddie Robinson, let's eat, baby.
I can't tonight, but I'm looking forward to some of those crabs that you were telling me about earlier.
Stone crabs.
Stone crabs. Get the
Liberty Kitchen's a great spot, too. Get the crab meat over there, the gumbo. Our thanks to everybody for tuning in here tonight. We always thank all our great sponsors for the show. Don't forget Cruz Azul Unam Pumas in November, AXS.com and Taqueria Rondas for tickets. College Cup, NCAA.com, December 9th through 11th at BBVA Compass Stadium. Please. Let's get after this organically because it's not going to happen without all of us making an effort to get down there. And I hope we do because it's on national TV and it's our soccer market that'll get judged whether we like it or not. Love this from Antonio Conte of Chelsea. He says he didn't want to play with a three-back system, but it worked best with what he had. Now that is a manager. We'll take a break. And we'll shut it down here for tonight. I'm Glenn Davis for Eddie Robinson, Jesus Acevedo, Kalia Ojai, Shep Messing, and Juan Padilla. Thank you very much for calling into the show tonight, and we will talk to you next week. It's more of the Best in Soccer Talk, self-proclaimed.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week, we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go in here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.